The vice presidential debate Wednesday night was a waste of time. Our vice president, Pence, remained calm, cool, and collected, while Kamala Harris reacted just as she did in the hearings of Justice Brett Kavanaugh, with smirks and condescending attitude. Harris lied again and again, and the moderator was even worse than Chris Wallace. That woman had ties to Joe Biden and the Clintons and was clearly working for Harris. Kamala Harris is on record saying that she is against fracking, and Joe Biden is against fracking as well. He said so. But in the debate, she denied their own words. On the issue of stacking the Supreme Court, Harris refused to answer. On the issue of raising taxes, Harris said that Biden would not raise taxes on anyone making less than $400,000 a year. But at the same time, this deceitful woman admitted that Biden would reverse Trump's tax cuts. That would raise taxes on all of us, because those tax cuts saved the American family of four at least $2,000 a year. Under a Biden-Harris administration, you can kiss that $2,000 a year away, and you don't make $400,000 a year. Harris was lying through her teeth. Biden is seen in a video clip telling an audience of average Americans that if he is elected, their taxes would go up. It was not an audience of millionaires that he was talking to. It was the average person. Throughout the so-called debate, Kamala Harris hammered away at unemployment figures when she knew full well that a pandemic caused that unemployment. This is one nasty woman. In the past, she claimed to be an Indian American to get elected in California. Suddenly, today, she calls herself an African American. Her father is from Jamaica, her mother from India, and that combination does not produce an African American. Kamala Harris is less African than Elizabeth Warren is Cherokee. Joe Biden is old and feeble-minded, and the idea of Kamala Harris becoming president should send shivers down the back of every patriotic American. I credit Stacy Lennox, Sean King, and John Davidson for their input in this commentary. In my research, I look for facts, and along the way I find research and comments from people whose work I then verify and pass on to you. First of all, the President of the United States and the First Lady contracted COVID-19. Immediately, the progressive lunatics showed their lack of a moral compass. Social media filled up with nasty comments, wishing for the president to die. What kind of human being does such a thing? I am desperately trying to keep Joe Biden and his socialist handlers out of the White House. The danger of that scares the devil out of me. But had the news been that Joe Biden and his wife Jill had contracted the deadly virus, they would both have been in my prayers for recovery. That's the difference between conservatives and liberal progressives, Hollywood celebrities, Democrat pundits, and a dishonest media. They have made jokes about Trump's illness or flat-out wished death upon him. The progressive left in this country is truly sick. It may have caused Joe Biden to barf after he said it, but even Biden put aside jokes and nasty venom to wish the Trumps a speedy recovery, and we have to respect that from Trump's opponent. He didn't have many options, but he did say it. Then we found that North Carolina Senator Tom Tillis had been hit with COVID-19 as well. No matter whether you agree completely with Tillis or not, it is imperative that we keep him in the Senate. Should Democrats win control of the Senate, this country will suffer. Democrats have shown that they are perfectly willing to destroy the country in order to grab and keep total control. They have already threatened to create states out of Washington, D.C. and Puerto Rico. Why? It's not to benefit our country, but to gain four more Democrat senator seats. In fact, Democrats are threatening to change the country as we know it to suit the socialist views of Biden's enablers. Far-left wackos like Bernie Sanders and Ocasio-Cortez. The only good news in that scenario is that after 4 years of this insane socialist tilt, the American people would rise up and vote out the Democrats. But the damage they will do in that 4-year reign of terror is unthinkable, and some of it could not be erased. Kellyanne Conway now has the COVID-19 virus, and at least 2 more senators reportedly have it. It could be any of us, even those wearing a mask and social distancing. For those chiding the president for too often not wearing a mask, it does no good to childishly taunt him with, "I told you so." As Trump said about the virus earlier, it is what it is. The president checked in to Walter Reed Medical Center in Bethesda, Maryland, as a precaution. That hospital is set up for cases like that. There, the president had a large office space to continue his work and continued to do so. Nobody knows what the outcome will be for the president and first lady overall, but the odds are on their side and looking better every day. Every patriotic American should have Donald Trump and his wife Melania in their prayers until they recover. All of us will die eventually, and those wishing death upon other human beings will experience the fires of hell. What will this illness do to the 2020 election? Nobody can really answer that question. What we do know is that if we elect Joe Biden, he will be manipulated by the socialists around him. Biden will no more run the country than a shyster runs a fair game. Biden is a congenital liar, and I'll prove that to you in just a moment. But first, in a recent interview, Texas Senator Ted Cruz explained the greatest risk if Democrats take control of the Senate. Some of them are already known. Democrat Party leaders, including likely Majority Leader Senator Chuck Schumer, have endorsed several radical policies. One thing they have signaled to us is a willingness to eliminate the filibuster, which lowers the threshold to pass legislation to a simple majority. Once that is done, giving statehood to the District of Columbia and Puerto Rico, packing the court, and amnesty for illegal aliens would pass quickly. If Biden wins and Democrats take control of the Senate, legislation related to his stated agenda will pass, with no way for Republicans to stop it. All this would be bad enough. It would eliminate the need to build consensus in the Senate to create new laws and could cause pushback from many states. Some red states could refuse to enforce legislation, such as gun control. Blue jurisdictions started the trend already by refusing to enforce federal immigration law. So there is precedent. If Biden wins, Cruz pointed out that the far-left takeover of the Democrat Party will now be complete. Only losing may stop them from becoming a party of radicals led by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the ex-bartender from New York, and the socialist senator from Vermont, Bernie Sanders. Cruz noted the complete lack of moderate Democrats in Washington, D.C., which is about to get worse. While DNC Chairman Tom Perez has called Ocasio-Cortez the future of the Democratic Party, Cruz disagreed. He said, "I think she is the present of the Democrat Party." He emphasized that if Democrats take the Senate, Ocasio-Cortez is the one who will drive the agenda for Democrats in 2021. In other words, the future is now. Many Republicans and right-leaning voters are singularly focused on the presidential race. And while that is important, maintaining the Senate may be the most important. This is the most important political race in our lifetime. Surely, longtime Democrats can see how the party has left them and their values. A vote for Democrats in 2020 is a vote for socialism and against your country. Now, to Joe Biden's lies. Between March 13 and April 3, just 3 weeks, Biden has given 11 Pinocchios by the New York Post for blatant lies. Recently, Biden told America that 6,114 military members had died from the coronavirus. That was a lie. The correct number was not 6,114. It was 7. That was easily researched, but Biden has a history of blatant lies. Perhaps the most egregious ongoing lie from the lips of Joe Biden has to do with his false portrayal of himself in the civil rights struggle. Black Americans must be made aware of the lies Biden has told to ingratiate himself to the black community. In 1987, when Joe Biden was running for president for the very first time, his campaign got swallowed up in a swarm of lies that Biden told about himself all over the country. First, Biden was caught plagiarizing a famous speech from British Labour Party leader Neil Pinnock, including parts of the speech that came straight from Pinnock's personal life that simply was not true for Joe Biden. Then he plagiarized yet another speech from the late Robert Kennedy, and another from JFK, and another from Hubert Humphrey. You have to understand, this was pre-internet, pre-social media, and something in Biden's mind made him think he could get away with it. But he didn't, and it ultimately tanked his campaign. Soon it was discovered that Biden had not just plagiarized those 4 speeches, but had lied about academic awards, lied about scholarships, lied about his ranking at Syracuse Law School, where he had been nearly kicked out for plagiarizing 5 entire pages of an essay, and that he also frequently lied about something that he had made a central part, not just of his 1988 presidential campaign bid, but of his entire public persona. Temporarily, Joe Biden paid a price for most of those lies, but was never held to account for the worst of them all. On the backs of black people, who actually paid an enormous price for being activists and organizers in the civil rights movement, Joe Biden created a completely false narrative of his work and contributions to the movement that persists to this very day. Instead of plagiarized speeches, he was plagiarizing details about his actual life. He not only told those lies in previous generations, they have now fully returned to his current stump speeches in churches and venues around the country, as if he had never apologized for them in the past. It is shameful what he's getting away with, and the blame falls directly on the mainstream media, who refuse to point out that Joe Biden is a serial liar. Listen now for an accounting of every lie Joe Biden has told about his work in the civil rights movement. Black Americans, in particular, should pay close attention. First, though, we must begin with 2 truths. On 2 very important occasions, Joe Biden actually told the entire truth about his involvement in the civil rights movement. Nearly everything else has been a lie. There are at least 31 different lies he's told about being an activist, an organizer, a sit-in demonstrator, a boycott leader, voter registration leader, black church trainee, and more in the civil rights movement. So let's start with the 2 truths. In September of 1987, with his presidential campaign completely consumed by lies, Biden told his entire public life that it was in shambles. He fell on his sword and told the truth about his lack of involvement in the civil rights movement. In repeated interviews, campaign events, and national keynote speeches at the Democrat conventions of both Maine and California, Biden told wild tales of how he marched, sat in, and boycotted during the civil rights movement, and even went so far as to suggest that he had traveled to Selma and Birmingham with such actions. But with his campaign in tatters, he finally admitted they were all lies. When pushed about false claims that he had also been against the Vietnam War, Biden also owned up to that lie. From 1987 until the release of his autobiography entitled Promises to Keep, on life and politics 20 years later, as he entered yet another presidential race, Biden was actually very careful to not tell another lie about his involvement in the civil rights movement. In fact, that leads us to this. Joe Biden's autobiography is colorful. The book is 400 pages long. In light of what Joe Biden is again saying in the 2020 presidential campaign about his work in the civil rights movement, what was found in his autobiography was shocking. He reduces his entire involvement to two sentences on page 43. It reads, quote, "I worked there," meaning a swimming pool, "back in the early 60s, when freedom rides, sit-ins, and Bull Connor's dogs and fire hoses were starting to get people's attention. Like everybody in America in those years, I was getting dramatic lessons about segregation and civil rights from newspapers and television." That's it. That's the whole section he wrote in his 400-page autobiography about his involvement in the civil rights struggle. Newspaper and television. That's where Joe Biden, like most people, in his own words, admitted that he learned about the civil rights movement. Newspapers and television. Not during training at black churches, not during sit-ins at segregated restaurants and movie theaters, not during the deeply organized marches and protests he claimed to have been part of along Route 40. It was so incredibly disturbing that after Joe Biden admitted in 1987 to telling such egregious lies about his role in the civil rights movement that he has now, under the pressure of the 2020 presidential campaign, resorted to doing it again. If it was a lie in 1987, as he has admitted that he marched and did sit-ins and so much more, if it was a lie then, it's a lie now. After nearly losing his career because of his constant lies, from 1987 until 2014, Joe Biden appeared to refrain from telling any and all about his supposed role in the civil rights movement. But suddenly, while giving a speech at a King's Day breakfast in January 2014 for the National Action Network, he resorted back to the same old debunked lies and also added a new one that he had never told in his entire life, saying he was regularly trained for the civil rights movement in 1960 on Sunday mornings in black churches. Then from 2014 until early 2019, Joe Biden would not again repeat that he was an activist and organizer in the civil rights movement. But once he began running again, he could not resist himself. It's as if Biden is not fully clear on how the internet works. In Waterloo, Iowa, on December 5th, 2019, Biden began telling falsehoods again about being an activist and organizer, saying that on Sundays he'd go to Catholic Mass at 7:30 and then proceed to a local black church for the 10 a.m. church service to be trained for the civil rights movement. He has absolutely no idea how foolish that sounds. In 1960, during the Civil Rights Movement, even in the Deep South, even in churches pastored by Dr. Martin Luther King himself, Sunday morning was not at all like Monday night's planned meetings and strategy sessions. Sunday mornings in black churches were sacred moments of prayer, song, praise, offerings, sermons, and invitations. Even during the Montgomery bus boycott, Sunday morning services were almost exclusively religious in nature. They were not brainstorming sessions, as Biden describes, where black folk and their white friend named Joe would decide where they'd go to desegregate next. In a special service at Bethlehem Baptist Church in Columbia, South Carolina, on January 20th, 2020, Biden told this lie. He said, "You know, when I was a teenager in Delaware, for real, I got involved in the civil rights movement. We have the 8th largest black population in America. Most people don't know that. And I'd go to 8 o'clock mass. What happened to the 7:30 mass, Joe? And then I'd go to Reverend Herring's, where we'd meet in order to organize and figure where we were going to go, whether we were going to desegregate the Rialto movie theater or what we were going to do. I got my education," he said, "for real, in the black church." And that's not hyperbole, Biden said. It's a fact. Other times when Biden tells this story, he says he would leave mass and go to the late Reverend Maurice Moyer's church. Neither story is true. Joe Biden met both of these men much later in life and only learned of their life in retrospect in Iowa. When he was in Iowa, he went so far as to say that he was, quote, "raised in the black church," end quote. That's about as absurd a claim as any person running for president has ever made. Again, remember that Biden had never mentioned any of this for his entire life. In 2008, Barack Hussein Obama, the first black man to ever get the Democrat nomination for president, gave a rousing speech in Illinois to introduce Joe Biden as his choice for vice president. He carefully left out any involvement Joe Biden claimed to have in the civil rights movement. Could you imagine how important and relative such moments would have been to include? Obama never did credit Biden with his help for the civil rights movement. It's unthinkable that Joe Biden, as he now says, was trained as a 17-year-old white boy in black churches, boycotted, marched, and put his body on the line all over Delaware for all equality and freedom. But it never got mentioned by Obama, not just in those speeches, but in his entire presidency, not one single time, not ever. Was Biden ever arrested in the marches like everybody else was? If so, how come his name has never appeared in the arrest records? Where are the photos of Biden? He would have stood out like a sore thumb as a white boy amongst a black crowd. Where are the images or newspaper clippings? Where are the details from Joe Biden's involvement in any of his books? Why was it so thoroughly omitted from the entire presidency of Barack Hussein Obama? It is amazing that Joe Biden has gotten a pass on this for so long. Current and former officials in Delaware admit it's an open secret among them that Joe Biden is a serial, pathological liar. Joe Biden never marched in the civil rights movement, not once. What's doubly disturbing about this is that multiple staffers on his campaign begged him to stop telling those monstrous lies. They knew Biden had never marched in the civil rights movement, But he continued telling the lies anyway. He can't help himself. It's something he's done all of his life. There is much more I could reveal from my research into the civil rights lies that Joe Biden has spun, but for now you have the picture of this pathetic man who seeks to steal the thunder from real civil rights heroes who did, in fact, protest and put their lives on the line. Biden lies unnecessarily, habitually, and without hesitation. When caught lying, he responds with nasty personal attacks. Even more galling, Biden lies about things that he shouldn't because they're easily checkable in today's technology. You don't hear about Biden's excessive lies because the anti-Trump progressive media shields the facts from you. Biden unleashes falsehoods from his mouth like an undead hydra spewing forth a toxic vomit cloud. I guarantee you, most of you have never heard what I reported today. That's by design. For 45 minutes in their first debate, Biden called Donald Trump a liar. That's like calling her husband Bill a faithful spouse from Hillary Clinton. It denies and defies logic. Donald Trump may play loose with facts, but his record stands the test against Joe Biden. America's fate is in our hands. Please, vote your conscience, not on personalities. Ann and I have already voted for Donald Trump. We don't lie to ourselves. I thank you for listening today and for listening each week. I try to bring you research and news that you haven't heard before and you're not going to hear from the mainstream media. Again, I thank you for listening. And I'll be back again next week, God willing. Same time, same station. And God bless America.